ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಜಯ ದ್ವೈತ ಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಜಯ ದ್ವೈತ ಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ ಮಧ್ಯ ಲೀಲಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 21st ವರ್ಸ್ 122 ಅಂಟು ದಿ ಎಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದೇಕಿ ನನ್ನ ಜನ ಕೈಲ ನಿಮಿಷೆ ನಿಂದನ ರಾಜ್ಯ ವಿಧಿ ನಿಂದೆ ಗೋಪಿ ಗನ್ನ ಸೇ ಸಭಾ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಪದಿ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಅರ್ಥಕಾರಿ ಸುಖೀ ಮಧುರ್ಯ ಕಾರಿ ಅಸ್ವದಾನ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ರೀಡ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟೂ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಟೂ ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಟೂ ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದೇಕಿ ನನ್ನ ಜನ ಕೈಲ ನಿಮಿಷ ನಿಂದನ ವ್ರಜೆ ವಿಧಿ ನಿಂದೆ ಗೋಪಿ ಗನ್ನ ಸೇ ಸಭಾ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಪದಿ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಅರ್ಥಕಾರಿ ಸುಖಿ ಮಧುರ್ಯಕಾರಿ ಅಸ್ವದಾನ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದೇಕಿ ನನ್ನ ಜನ ಕೈಲ ನಿಮಿಷ ನಿಂದನ ವ್ರಜೆ ವಿಧಿ ನಿಂದಿ ನಿಂದೆ ಗೋಪಿ ಗಾನ ಸೇ ಸಭಾ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಪದಿ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಅರ್ಥಕಾರಿ ಸುಖೆ ಮಧುರ್ಯಕಾರಿ ಅಸ್ವದಾನ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ದೇಕಿ ನನ್ನ ಜನ ಕೈಲ ನಿಮಿಷ ನಿಂದನ ವ್ರಜೆ ವಿಧಿ ನಿಂದೆ ಗೋಪಿ ಗಾನ ಸೇ ಸಭಾ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಪದಿ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಅರ್ಥಕಾರಿ ಸುಖೆ ಮಧುರ್ಯಕಾರಿ ಅಸ್ವದಾನ
ಶ್ಲೋಕಾಪಿ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಅರ್ಥಕಾರಿ
ಸುಖೇ ಮಧುರ್ಯಕಾರಿ ಅಸ್ವದಾನ
Suke Madhurya Arya Svada.
What is it?
Krishna Dekina Najana Kailanile Senidan.
Krishna Dekina Najana Kailanile Senidan.
Raja
Vire Ninde Gopigana.
Sei
Savasloka Padi Mahaprabhu Artakari.
Suke Madhurya Kare Ashvadan.
Krishna, Lord Krishna, Dekhi,
seeing,
Nana Jana, various persons, Kaila, Dit, Nimishe, due to the blinking of the eyes, Nindana, blaming, Vraje, in Vrindavan, Vidi, Lord Brahma, Ninde, blame, Gopigana, all the gopis, Sei Sabha, all those Sloka, verses, Padi, reciting, Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Artakari, explaining the meaning, Sukhe, in happiness,
Madhurya,
transcendental sweetness,
Kare,
thus, Asvadana, tasting. Translation. After seeing Krishna, various people criticize the blinking of their eyes. In Vrindavan especially, all the gopis criticize Lord Brahma because of this defect in the eyes. Then, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and explained them vividly, thus enjoying the taste of transcendental sweetness with great happiness. Please repeat.
After seeing Krishna,
various people criticize
the blinking of their eyes.
In Vrindavan especially, all the gopis criticize Lord Brahma
because of this defect in the eyes.
Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and explained them vividly, thus enjoying the taste of transcendental sweetness with great happiness. So we will continue reading more verses, but here we are in the last part of the Madhya Lila. The Madhya Lila starts with the topic of our theater, Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, and then Lord Nityananda, he wanted to go to Vrindavan after taking sannyas, and then Lord Nityananda so-called was going to bring him on the way to Vrindavan, but then he misled him, and he ended up in the place where Sri Advaita Acharya was praying for the descent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help the people in Kali Yuga, Shantipur. So then the Lord's plan changed there. Then he also met his mother, and finally his mother there accepted that he had taken sannyas and that, you know, that he would not be anymore with her. And she said, on the condition that you go to Jahanapuri, that you have your basis in Jahanapuri. So this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. And then after that meeting in Shantipur, in that festival in Shantipur they had, then the Lord proceeded towards Jahanapuri. And of course, wherever the Lord goes, there are pastimes, so we cannot enter in that. I just wanted to give a quick overview of what he did in a few steps. And then he went to Jahanapuri, and then after some time, then he did a tour to the whole of India. He went to South India, and then when he came back, then he again from his tour of South India, then again he had the plan to go to Vrindavan. And again there was some obstruction because the devotees wanted him to stay in Jahanapuri. They didn't want him to leave, especially because he wanted to go basically alone to Vrindavan. So then, okay, then there was Ratayatra, and then finally the Lord left to Vrindavan, where he then visited Vrindavan Dham and pointed some important places. And then on his way back from Vrindavan to Jahanapuri, then he met Rupa Goswami. He had met him before in Ramakeli, but now Rupa Goswami had detached him from his worldly duties as an important minister in the government. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him in Prayag. And then after Srirupa Goswami, then Sri Sanatana Goswami came, and he then instructed Sri Sanatana Goswami. And this is the path, this is the place where we are now at the end of the Madhya Lila. There are different chapters where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami. And this chapter is entitled The Opulence and Sweetness of Krishna. So some of these verses are very elevated verses, so I will read, and the first part speaks about the first few verses speaking about the blinking of the eyes, that because the gopis, they are very happy to see the Lord, but they feel they don't have enough opportunity to see him, because during the day he goes with the cowherd boys pasturing the cows, and then they don't see the Lord. So then when he comes back, they want to really see him, and then they find it really disturbing that the eyes are blinking, because they find this fraction of a second that the eye is blinking, they find it like an ocean of time that they are missing out the chance to see the Lord's sweet face and all the characteristics of his face. So that's a challenge, and it's Lord Chaitanya is speaking these verses, and he is also complaining, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is the Lord himself. He is the creator of the creator, so, but still he is complaining about the creator. So, about Lord Brahma. All men and women were accustomed to enjoying the beauty of the shining face of Lord Krishna, as well as his shark-like earrings swinging on his ears. So little imagination here is very helpful in these verses. His beautiful features, his cheeks, and his playful smiles all combined to form a constant festival for the eyes. And the blinking of the eyes become obstacles that impeded one from seeing that beauty. For this reason, men and women became very angry at the Creator, Lord Brahma. And there is no purport, but it says that it is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 924-65. And in that purport, Sri Prabhupada explains that he starts with reciting the verse Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kashityat Tati Siddhaye Yatatam Api Siddhanam Kaschinmam Veti Tatvata. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So Sri Prabhupada explains that unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on the earth. So even when Krishna performed these pastimes, many people could not relate to him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only very, very few could really understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these special personalities were especially the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, the gopis, Krishna's parents. So when they saw Krishna, for them was like a festival. To see Krishna's personality, especially Krishna's face, and then within Krishna's face, Krishna's eyebrows, and his eyes. The eyebrows is like the bow, and the eyes are like the arrows. And his cheeks, and his nose, and his ears, his earrings. Everything was very attractive. And then again on this point of the eyelids, it said here, Sri Prabhupada explains here that the gopis, they were very much afflicted when Krishna went to herd the cows, because they felt disturbed, they felt sad when they saw him walking on the sand path, because they felt his feet are going to be hurt. That's how much they cared about Krishna. They even, Sri Prabhupada expresses in that purport, that they even felt that their breasts were not soft enough for the lotus feet of Krishna. That's how they felt. They felt, and now he is walking there on this sand path, his feet is going to be hurt. So they were affected by it. Some of them were even crying just out of the idea that Krishna would hurt his lotus feet while herding the cows, while walking on the path. That's how these days we speak also in ISKCON more about caring. So that's how the gopis, they cared, they really cared for for Krishna. These were real feelings. This was not just for the sake of being polite or something, or diplomatic, or for the show of care. It was real care. It were real feelings, deep feelings. So then, when Krishna came back from herding the cows, then they really wanted to see him, and they were really disturbed by that, by this blinking of the eyes. Although it's very short, I mean, unless we give it the attention, we don't even notice it on daily life. I mean, I never thought like that. Of course, if you reflect on it, it's true that the eyes close once in a while, and and there is a time that you don't see, but it's very short. But still, that Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu is pointing that out, and the gopis, he's expressing what the gopis feel, that they are disturbed by that. These gopis, who were therefore the exalted friends of Krishna, saw Krishna constantly. But because their eyelids disturbed their vision of Krishna, the gopis condemned the Creator, Lord Brahma. Therefore, the beauty of Krishna, especially the beauty of his face, is described here. At the end of the ninth canto, in 24th chapter, we find a hint of Krishna's beauty. Now we are proceeding to the 10th canto, which is considered Krishna's head. The entire Bhagavata Purana is the embodiment of Krishna's form, and the 10th canto is his face. This verse gives a hint of how beautiful his face is. Krishna's smiling face, with his cheeks, his lips, the ornament in his ears, his chewing of betel nuts, all this was minutely observed by the gopis, who thus enjoyed transcendental bliss, so much so that they were never fully satisfied to see Krishna's face, but instead condemned the Creator of the body for making eyelids that obstructed their vision. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys, or even by Yashoda Mata, who was also interested in decorating the face of Krishna. So then we go to the next verse. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. O Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day and we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curling hair, half a second becomes as long as an entire age for us, and we consider the Creator, who has put eyelids on the eyes we use for seeing you, to be simply a fool. Next verse. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is identical with the Vedic hymn known as the Kama Gayatri, which is composed of 24.5 syllables. Those syllables are compared to moons that arise in Krishna. Thus all three worlds are filled with desire. The face of Krishna is the king of all moons, and the body of Krishna is the throne. Thus the king governs a society of moons. So here Krishna's face is compared to the moon, and the body of Krishna is compared to the throne on which the moon is sitting. The entire face is called the king of moons. The mouth is another moon. The left cheek is a moon. The right cheek is a moon. The spots of sandalwood pulp on Krishna's face are also considered different moons. and his fingernails and toenails are also different moons. His forehead is considered a half moon. His face is considered the king of moons, and his body is considered the throne. All the other chandras, moons, are considered to be subordinate moons. So every fingernail is considered a moon, and they playfully, because Krishna moves his fingers or plays his flute, and the moons are moving. And his left cheek is a moon, his right cheek is a moon, half moon, his face is a moon. So Krishna has two cheeks that shine like glowing gems. Both are considered full moons. His forehead is considered a half moon, and his spots of sandalwood are considered full moons. His fingernails are many full moons, and they dance on the flute on his hands. Their song is the melody of that flute. His toenails are also many full moons, and they dance on the ground. Their song is the jingling of his ankle bells. Krishna's face is the enjoyer king. That full moon face makes his shark-shaped earrings and lotus eyes dance. His eyebrows are like bows, and his eyes are like arrows. His ears are fixed on the string of that bow, and when his eyes spread to his ears, he pierces the heart of the gopis. So Krishna has lotus eyes, so like in that painting of Yadrani, the eyes are very long. So here it is also mentioned that when his eyes spread to his ears, the lotus eyes spread to his ears. He pierces the hearts of the gopis. So these are wonderful descriptions. It's very hard to repeat it, or it's very hard even to comment on this, because they are so complete by itself that it's a whole meditation. And the gopis, for the gopis, it's a very intense seeing the Lord, and they are completely attracted to the Lord. There are also more verses in that sense. The dancing features of his face surpass all other full moons and expand the marketplace of full moons. Although priceless, the nectar of Krishna's face is distributed to everyone. Some purchase the moon rays of his sweet smiles, and others purchase the nectar of his lips. Thus he pleases everyone. Krishna has two reddish, widely spread eyes. These are ministers of the king, and they subdue the pride of Cupid, who also has beautiful eyes. Because Cupid's service is to attract, to have an effect on the conditioned living entities. So Cupid also has beautiful eyes, but Krishna is expelling that beauty. That face of Govinda, which is full of happiness, is the home of the pastimes of beauty, and it is very pleasing to everyone's eyes. If by devotional service one gets the results of pious activities and sees Lord Krishna's face, he can relish the Lord with his eyes. His greed and thirst then increase twofold by seeing the nectarian face of Krishna. Due to one's inability to sufficiently drink the nectar, one becomes very unhappy and criticizes. So here it comes back to the Lord Brahma a little bit. One becomes very unhappy and criticizes the Creator for not having given more than two eyes. Just like Sri Rupa Goswami was expressing the desire to have millions of tongues and millions of ears, so that he could relish the nectar of the holy name. So here the gopis are, what was it, Mahaprabhu is expressing that that lack, that on two eyes only is not sufficient, that we should get, the Creator should provide more eyes to see the Lord, because His beauty is so fulfilling that two eyes is not sufficient. When the onlooker of Krishna's face becomes dissatisfied in this way, he thinks, why didn't the Creator give me thousands and millions of eyes? Why has he given me only two? Even those two eyes are disturbed by blinking, which keeps me from continuously seeing Krishna's face. Thus one accuses the Creator of being dry and tasteless due to engaging in severe austerities. The Creator is only a dry manufacturer. He does not know how to create and set things in their proper place. So here Lord Caitanya is saying that Lord Brahma is missing some sensitivity due to his austerities. We know that austerities can make the heart dry. So Lord Caitanya is basically making that point here, that because of his doing austerities, he achieves some power, but then it makes his creativity dull, because he's just doing the job, so to say, without being an architect in what is needed. Like an architect is a person who, when he designs a house for the people, then he's not just designing what is needed, but he also wants to put some creativity in. He wants it to give his own ideas. He wants to make the client even more happy than what they want. So, in a similar way, Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu would have expected that Lord Brahma would also have his, but on the contrary, he felt Lord Brahma by his, austerities, that he has done well, but he has made him like more a mechanical creator instead of a creative creator. dry manufacturer, he calls him. The Creator says, let those who will see Krishna's beautiful face have two eyes. Just see the lack of consideration exhibited by this person posing as a creator. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't let the point go. He keeps going on his case. If the Creator took my advice, He would give millions of eyes to the person who intends to see Krishna's face. If the Creator will accept this advice, then I would say that He is competent in His work. The transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna is compared to an ocean. A particularly extraordinary vision is the moon above the ocean. And another vision is His smile. So the transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna is compared to an ocean. A particularly extraordinary vision is the moon above the ocean. That's always a very beautiful scenario. If we see the ocean and then we see the moon or the sun, but also the moon is very particular. And another vision is His smile, which is sweeter than sweet, and is like shining beams of moonlight. While speaking of these things with Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to remember one thing after another. Moving his hands in ecstasy, he recited a verse. And then there is a sweet verse. Maduram maduram vapurasya vibhor maduram maduram vadanam maduram madugandhi mridu smitam etat aho maduram 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 maduram. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got so many ideas and remembrances, and then he recited this verse, which is quoted from Bilva Mangalam Thakur, Krishna Karnamrita. O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. So His body is very sweet. And His face is even sweeter than His body. And the soft smile on His face, which is like the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. So this verse is saying that Krishna's transcendental body is very sweet. And His face is even more sweet. And His smile in His face is the sweetest, is sweeter still. It's like the fragrance of honey, Krishna's smile. Next verse. My dear Sanatan, the sweetness of Krishna's personality is just like an ocean of ambrosia. Although my mind is now afflicted by convulsive diseases, and I wish to drink that entire ocean, the repressive physician does not allow me to drink even one drop. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by absorbing himself in this sweetness and beauty of Lord Krishna, he says his mind is afflicted by convulsive diseases. Convulsive means that one has a bodily reaction without having control over it. It's like in epilepsy, one speaks about convulsive reaction. So Lord Caitanya's mind, because he is Krishna himself, and because he absorbs himself in Krishna, he starts to get, his mind becomes, you can say, agitated of convulsive. It reacts by itself. He cannot withhold himself of these ecstatic feelings. And he says, and I wish to drink the entire ocean, but the repressive physician does not allow me to drink even one drop. So who is the repressive physician? Purport. When there is combination of kapha, pitta, here it says vayu, kapha, pitta, and vata, the three bodily elements, there occurs sannipati, or a convulsive disease. This disease is caused by the personal features of Lord Krishna. The three elements are the beauty of Krishna's body, the beauty of his face, and the beauty of his smile. Stricken by these three beauties, my mind goes into convulsions. It wishes to drink the ocean of Krishna's beauty. But because I am undergoing convulsions, my physician, who is Sri Krishna himself, does not even allow me to take a drop of water from that ocean. Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic in this way because he was presenting himself in the mood of the gopis. The gopis wanted to drink the ocean of sweetness arising from the bodily features of Krishna. But Krishna did not allow them to come near. Consequently, their desire to meet Krishna increased. And being unable to drink the ambrosia of Krishna's bodily features, they became very unhappy. Krishna's body is a city of attractive features, and it is sweeter than sweet. His face, which is like the moon, is sweeter still, and the gentle smile on that moon-like face is like rays of moonshine. One line purport, the smile of Krishna's face is just like the smiling of the moon, which generates greater and greater happiness for the gopis. So the gopis have very transcendental relationship and feelings for Krishna. At the same time, they also feel they could have more feelings. So they are, though they have very transcendental feelings, at the same time they feel they could have more feelings. And when they are bereft of these more feelings, then they are complaining about that. This next verse gives even more attention to the beauty of Krishna's smile. The beauty of Krishna's smile is the sweetest feature of all. His smile is like a full moon that spreads its rays throughout the three worlds. For Loka Vrindavan, the spiritual sky of the Vaikunthas, and Devi Dham, the material world. Thus Krishna's shining beauty spreads in all 10 directions. So we are lucky that also Krishna's smile comes to the material world. It's not only for the spiritual world, but it's for this whole creation. His slight smiling and fragrant illumination are compared to camphor, which enters the sweetness of the lips. That sweetness is transformed and enters into space as vibrations from the holes of his flute. So here is comparison to camphor. His slight smiling and fragrant illumination are compared to camphor. Because camphor has a very impregnating taste. It goes deep. And it doesn't, you know, like sometimes you put something on your tongue and it has a quick taste and it's gone. But camphor is not like that. Camphor goes deep, deep, and even if you would take it away, it's still there.
Yes. Today the chairman would have had camphor.
Yeah. There is all the rest is already long gone, and the camphor is still there. That's how deep the camphor impregnates in the lips or in the tongue. That's why the comparison with camphor is very good. His light smiling and fragrant illumination are compared to camphor. That's why camphor has to be applied in very small quantities, and then it has the desired effect. Otherwise it can be too strong also. Which enters the sweetness of the lips. That sweetness is transformed and enters into space as vibrations from the holes of his flutes. The sound of Krishna's flute spreads in four directions. Even though Krishna vibrates his flute within the universe, its sounds pierces the universal covering and goes to the spiritual sky. Thus, the vibration enters the ears of all inhabitants. It especially enters Goloka Vrindavan Dham and attracts the minds of the young damsels of Vrajabhumi, bringing them forcibly to where Krishna is present. Forcibly. So the sound of Krishna's flute has so much effect on the gopis that they cannot remain. If they are forced to, by its transcendental force, its spiritual force, but they are forced to be drawn towards Krishna by that by the sound of his transcendental flute. The vibration of Krishna's flute is very aggressive and it breaks the vows of all chaste women. Indeed, its vibration takes them forcibly from the laps of their husbands. The vibration of his flute attracts even the goddesses of fortune in the Vaikuntha planet, to say nothing of the poor damsels of Vrindavan. The vibration of his flutes slackened the knots of their underwear, even in front of their husbands. Thus the gopis are forced to abandon their household duties and come before Lord Krishna. In this way, all social etiquette, shame and fear are vanquished. The vibration of his flute causes all women to dance. Next verse. The vibration of his flute is just like a bird that creates a nest within the ears of the gopis and always remains prominent there, not allowing any other sound to enter their ears. So here is a comparison that the ear, there is a, the sounds, Krishna's flute creates a nest within the ears, so they cannot hear anything else. They don't want to hear anything else. But the example of the nest is also there to say that there is nothing else that can enter, because there is a nest of Krishna's flute, of the sound of Krishna's flute. Indeed, the gopis cannot hear anything else, nor are they able to concentrate on anything else, not even to give a suitable reply. Such are the effects of the vibration of Krishna's flute. There is a short purport. The vibration of Krishna's flute is always prominent in the ears of the gopis. Naturally, they cannot hear anything else. Constant remembrance of the holy sound of Krishna's flute keeps them enlightened and enlivened, and they do not allow any other sound to enter their ears. Since their attention is fixed on Krishna's flute, they cannot divert their minds to any other subject. In other words, a devotee who has heard the sound of Krishna's flute forgets to talk or hear of any other subject. Another, what comes now is very practical for us. This vibration of Krishna's flute is represented by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A serious devotee of the Lord who chants and hears this transcendental vibration becomes so accustomed to it that he cannot divert his attention to any subject matter not related to Krishna's blissful characteristics and paraphernalia. So Srila Prabhupada brings the transcendental experience of the gopis with Krishna's flute, and then he makes it practical for us, to that we can also absorb ourselves in the holy name, hear the holy name properly, and be absorbed in the holy name properly, so that it has an effect on us 24 hours a day, that we cannot divert. If anything comes to us which diverts our attention away from Krishna consciousness, that we reject that, because it's not helpful to our spiritual life. So that's a nice way how he brings from the transcendental plane to our situation here. If few more verses and then we finish this chapter. Assuming his external consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, "I have not spoken of what I intended. Lord Krishna is very merciful to you because by bewildering my mind, he has exposed his personal opulence and sweetness. He has caused you to hear all these things from me for your understanding." So what these verses we heard, they were not in the planning. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not planning to instruct Srila Sanatana Goswami about these particular details of the Lord, but he says some or other Krishna wanted you to hear it. And so Prabhupada explains, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admitted that he was speaking like a madman, which he should not have done for the understanding of those who are externally situated. Statements about Krishna's body, his characteristics and his flute would appear like a madman's statement to a mundane person. It was actually a fact that Krishna wanted to expose himself to Sanatana Goswami due to his specific mercy upon him. Somehow or other, Krishna explained himself and his flute to Sanatana Goswami through the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared as though mad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admitted that he wanted to tell Sanatana Goswami something else, but somehow or other, in a transcendental ecstasy, he spoke of a different subject matter. "Since I have become a madman," Lord Chaitanya is saying, "I am saying one thing instead of another. This is because I am being carried away by the waves of nectarian ocean of Lord Krishna's transcendental sweetness." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then remained silent for a moment. Finally, adjusting things within his mind, he again spoke to Sanatana Goswami, "I now summarize these teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If anyone gets an opportunity to hear about the sweetness of Krishna in this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he will certainly be eligible to float in the transcendental blissful ocean of love of God." Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatana, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purpose of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 21st chapter. Any comments? No questions.
That's speechless.
The comment is how fortunate we are to have this Chaitanya.
If Sanatana Goswami was not supposed to hear it, what about us? So we'll stop here. So Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki.
Thank you. Thank you. Krishna, Krishna,
Thank you.